Well, hey there, come on in. We're just about to start. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a fun weekly podcast about nutrition and healthy lifestyle. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative and entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
Join us each week as we strive to help you with transforming your overall health and relationship with food through up-to-date, evidence-based nutrition information. Today we start the new year with happiness expert Tamara Lechner, author of The Happiness Reset. Tamara offers some valuable insights into reframing your mindset for a positive outlook.
When we have a more positive outlook, when we have a growth mindset, when we practice things that make us more resilient, we are not only mentally healthier, we are also physically healthier. And there's a lot of reasons for it, but it can change everything from our blood pressure to our immune system. It is really quite simple. When you feel better, your body feels better.
Stay with us to start your year off on the right foot.
Happy New Year and welcome to season 3 of My Wife the Dietitian.
Hi, Rob.
Hello, Sandra.
Today we have a special guest and I'm really excited about introducing her.
I'm really excited to talk to her. It's been like 25 years.
Yeah. So it was so interesting because Rob came across this book and I checked out her podcast. Happiness Reset is her book. And Rob realized that he knew her from high school.
Exactly.
Tamara Lechner.
We've been Facebook friends, but I didn't really know, like most people on Facebook, you don't really know what everybody's doing. You sort of scroll through and you sort of absorb some of the stuff that people say. But one day, boom, her book's there. And I'm like, oh, that looks kind of neat. And I kind of read about it and I read into it and I'm like, wow.
And you asked me, is this on our bookshelf? Because I have so many books.
It sounds like a book Sandra would read. And or that I should read.
Yes.
And yeah, so we reconnected, and that's who is joining us today for a like crazy amazing conversation on so many levels. It's a great way to start the new year. We thought we'd put it on today just as a good way to restart, reset, you know, and some tips from Tamara about how to do that, how to get there, some things that have worked for her, some things that she's shared with other people through her extensive career.
Yeah.
And
it's amazing, like her passion for mindfulness, and it kind of developed and grew. Her work and her passions were influenced by life-changing events that happened in her own young family
mm-hmm.
that she gets into in the interview. But she works with and mentored by the biggest names in the positive psychology world, like Deepak Chopra is one of her mentors, and Wayne Dyer.
That's kind of cool. She can just kind of call him up and go, hey, Deepak, what's up? Right?
Amazing.
I know, right? Like, wow. So yeah, it's an amazing interview and we're really excited to have her on the show and have her share her years of wisdom. And like I said, just tips or different things that can influence the health and happiness in our life.
Yeah, and help every one of us with some practical strategies to form more positive daily habits so that we have more playfulness in our life and more fun and more peace and more connection, human connection. So it's a great way to start New Year's.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're really excited to bring Tamara out. I hope you enjoy this episode. And once again, Happy New Year, everyone.
Tamara, thank you for coming on the show today. Can you tell our listeners who you are and who you help in your work?
Oh my goodness. That's a great way to start, because who I am, I'm just a human who has followed my curiosity, trying to figure out why I'm a little happier than the average human, which led me down a crazy research path. And I've had such a cool career. But basically, I work in the science of flourishing, which is helping humans and teams at organizations to feel their best, do their best work, and contribute meaningfully to something that's important to them. And hopefully it adds a little value to the world as well. So in a nutshell, in a one-liner, that's who I am. But if I tell a child, I say I'm a happiness expert.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's simple, right? If you can say it simply, then you know what you're doing.
Yeah, wow.
And you've written a book recently, eh?
I have. I have a book called The Happiness Reset, What to Do When Nothing Makes You Happy. And one of my mentors is Dr. Deepak Chopra. And when he writes, he often writes in a pattern that accompanies the days of the week. So something to do for each day of the week. So what I did was I took kind of the top 7 habits that help people to be happier humans. And I coupled them with days of the week. And I wrote about each day. So we've got a day for purpose, a day for connecting, a day for play, a day for letting go, a day for being mindful, a day for being grateful, and a day for knowing yourself better. And it helps me, I've got to say, when I'm having a moment where I feel unhinged, untethered, or a little confused about what to do in life, getting back to that structure can really help me.
No doubt.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, I'm just thinking, like, how did this all start for you? Like, is there a story behind why you got into this field?
Yeah. And I'll give you the short version. But basically, I've always been a pretty happy and very lucky human. I've had a wonderful life. So unlike many people who end up in this field who say I was unhappy, I was depressed, I had a huge trauma, none of those things were true for me. When my first daughter was just about 2 years old, she was diagnosed with autism and what would today be called profound autism. She's fairly low functioning. She will never live on her own. And so this is one of those things that for a parent is kind of one of the worst things that could happen. And I became quite curious after my initial grief and my initial running around trying to figure out how do you cope with this? How do you grieve the child that you thought you had and accept the child that you now have? I recognized that compared to other mums and dads in my autism support group, I seemed to be coping a fair bit better. I wasn't angry at the world. I wasn't angry at my life, my day-to-day life, although much busier, really, really full on, was still pretty happy. And I became really curious about why, which led me, first of all, to follow Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer, who were two people I had deeply respected, led me also to a place called the Option Institute, where I learned many skills about working with my daughter. It was the first place that I had meditated. I remember the head of the institute there telling me I was a really bad hugger, which was probably very true. And so I learned a lot about how to feel and be happier. And then I became curious about the science and I kind of backwards chained myself to a branch of psychology that's called positive psychology that looks at when you remove all the obstacles to being mentally healthy. So you're kind of at zero, you're not negative, you're not suffering, you're not languishing. What could we do to be better than that? Because nobody wants to be just at zero. You'd like to be a little higher. And so that's really where I play is once you've removed the obstacles, or even for people who are experiencing deep obstacles, what are the things that we can do regularly, kind of like brushing our teeth, that contribute to our mental hygiene instead of just our dental hygiene?
Yeah, I like that. Oh, that's awesome. Oh my gosh. And you mentioned Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer, and I think I have about 10 of their books on our bookshelf. Like each one of them, I follow them. I just think like kind of law of attraction, all that work and The Secret. And yeah, that's in that positivity. It's a big part of how we can have a positive outlook in life. And actually, that's a question I had. Can we really influence our behavior with changing our mindset?
Oh, that's a really great question. And it's why my book is titled The Happiness Reset. We're all born with a certain predisposition for how happy, how resilient, how calm, how peaceful we might be. And one of the things that I learned about myself at a fairly young age was I was born into a family that had a pretty low natural level Most of the women in my family have had anxiety, panic attacks, and on an ongoing basis throughout their life. So my genetics said, ha ha, you are not predisposed to be a very happy human. You will have some anxiety. And I see this in my children. They all have this predisposition to overthink and to let their anxiety drive the car rather than being a passenger. But actually, your nurture, what you do, your people that you surround yourself with, the thoughts you think, change that baseline level. And so that was one of the most exciting things when I first started in on the research side, because I don't care about the research if I can't apply it to my life. And what I learned is that by doing very simple things regularly, like having a conversation with a friend who you feel lifted and energized after you've spent time with them, that impacts your overall happiness. And it's contagious that when you feel better, they feel better. And so all of those things, no matter where you start genetically, are absolutely under your influence based on what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even just listening to certain podcasts, like it can lift your mood. And like that's a daily routine for a lot of people is listening to podcasts. I've been hearing about some stats and it's like, it's amazing. It's built into people's routines, like going for a walk with the dog or going for commute, you know, to work or doing your laundry or, you know, washing dishes or making dinner. And you have your favorite voices in your head. And a lot of that is... it can be helpful because especially if you're in a situation where you don't have a lot of positivity or, you know, building yourself up with the people around you, you can do it mindfully by clicking on a comedy or clicking on some sort of uplifting voices and songs and music. And so I love that. That's so interesting.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. I think you may have heard, because it's very popular on social media, that people say you're kind of the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. And this could feel really heavy if you're spending your time surrounded by people who are negative. But something that I always say is spend more time listening to those people, those podcasters, those influencers, whoever they are, who lift you up, who inspire you, who push you to test your boundaries a little bit, and they will become more impactful. So some of the people I consider my mentors are people I've never met, but they've made a big impact because I've listened to them again and again and again. And so I think you're absolutely right. People don't have to be surrounded by, as you call it, positivity in order to have some of that rub off.
Yeah.
And the opposite is true too. I remember a few years ago, I had a lot of negative people in my life. I'm not the kind of person who tends to push people away. I'm more like open, everyone's my friend kind of thing. But I had a few people in my life that were, they had a lot of negative energy, a lot of drama. They're always like, you know, you just feel that negative energy anytime you're with them. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to make some changes and I'm just going to, like, I don't want to say delete those people from my life, but, you know, just spend less time around them. Don't be engaging with them as much. And what a difference. It was like night and day, the difference that it made for me just being filled, because you remove the negative, it leaves more room for positive. And just that influx of positive energy now in my life. Wow. A noticeable difference.
It is amazing. There is a researcher, he calls this the heliotropic effect. And knowing about it is important because it reminds you to consider the impact that your energy has on other people. Mm-hmm. That was something that I learned working with my autistic daughter, that she reads energy like you would not believe. And so I cannot pretend to be different than I am with her.
Right.
And I had to practice having my energy feel like something that she wanted to move towards. But when you start turning on kind of your spidey sense for that, you really quickly start trusting your gut around who are the people you want to spend more time with and who are the ones that maybe you don't delete, as you said. Although there are times to delete people from your life. That is absolutely a whole chapter in another book.
Yeah.
But there's the people that you just want to, okay, I'm going to spend less time. And I always think Deepak talks a lot about giving and receiving. And so sometimes people lift you and sometimes it's your job to lift people. But when it becomes an unfair giving and receiving where every single time you're with the person, you leave feeling heavier. Mm-hmm. That's when you've got to delete or reduce. And we also know, because our human bias is to notice negatives and to feel negatives more, they come with a bigger chemical charge in our brain. We need between 3 to 7 positives for every negative. So
wow.
If you're surrounding yourself by negative people, the amount of positive you need in your day to counteract that can be huge.
Wow.
And I think for you two, because you're a husband and wife team, the ratio goes even higher with your partner. So maybe with someone at work, they could say 1 negative thing and 3 positive and you'd be okay. But usually in a marriage or a loving relationship, it has to be even more. So 1 negative thing packs an even bigger wallop and you need way more positive things to counteract it.
So Sandra has to be really, really nice to me is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly.
There you
nice
go.
Person, honey.
I keep telling
you're
her
right,
that.
Buddy.
Yeah, now we have the proof.
Hey, Tamara, I had a question. I'm going rewinding a little bit. I remember you were talking about you have to consider the impact of your energy. And I heard you on another podcast and you mentioned about with your daughter that you had to practice your resting facial posture because it was like frown or whatever. And she would read that. And so your coach or the person you was working with you basically said, you know, try to have a smile, like try to look happy, like think positively when your daughter's around because she can read that your facial, your message through your face. And so you worked hard on it, you said, hey?
You know, it's interesting because we learn things to take care of ourselves. And so Rob knows this about me, but you might not. I left high school early because I was doing film and television in Toronto. And so often as a young girl in
that's
the wee hours. Yeah, that's
where
I went.
Where you
went.
So I was off in Toronto and I was often heavily made up wearing high heels, trying to look good enough to get a job, which also meant that I was garnering a lot of attention on the subway that I didn't want. And I learned that my resting grumpy face protected me from a lot of advances I didn't want. So at the time, it was incredibly useful. When I had a daughter with autism who might peek up at me and she didn't see a face that looked open-minded and curious and warm, she might not look for very much longer. So practicing that face was incredibly important. But I think it's really important for your audience to understand that not everybody should have an open, curious, happy face at all times. It is about the setting that you're in and really matching what you need at that time with how you look.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, that makes sense.
It totally does. Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
I was wondering how, when Rob was talking a minute ago, he was saying how he's changed his kind of the people he surrounds himself with. And how does our outlook on life affect our health and eventually our longevity? Is there, can you comment on that?
Yeah. I mean, in a nutshell, the short summary is when we have a more positive outlook, when we have a growth mindset, when we practice things that make us more resilient, we are not only mentally healthier, we are also physically healthier. And there's a lot of reasons for it, but it can change everything from our blood pressure to our immune system. It is really quite simple. When you feel better, your body feels better.
Absolutely.
You would know this from your line of work, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting working with people that have illness for 26 years of my career here in different aspects with, you know, undergoing cancer treatment or in outpatients working with local doctors or, you know, in long-term care and people that are not well, you know, it makes life like my life at home and when I'm not working, I know that it's really important for me to have boundaries and for me to protect my mental health and my positive outlook, because otherwise you can really get down in the mud and really start to you know, it can be very negative, because if people are telling you how sick they are all the time and this hurts and I have this ache and, you know, all these things, and you're trying to problem solve and help them, it's heavy, heavy work.
Oh, yeah.
You're so right. We did, one of my businesses has kind of a learning and development aspect. So we work with organizations to help upskill their teams. And we recently did one for a large group of carers in the UK. And for much of the reason that you're talking about, the caregivers over there are among the lowest paid and they have the heaviest jobs. And often, especially the ones who are living in homes caring for palliative, their clients are regularly passing away and they're not even allowed time to go and attend their funerals. And so we worked with them a lot on the resilience skills to have indicators that their day was exceptionally heavy, that maybe they had lost a client and today wasn't a day to ask them for anything extra. And I often coach my individual clients to have subtle signals out there that tell your family members that, you know, I'm full up today. I do not have anything extra to give. Don't ask me about the hard stuff today. And I think as we get better as individuals, knowing our bandwidth. And I love that you use the word heavy, because we often use a visual of balancing and saying, you know, you come to life with certain heavinesses, whether that's your physical ailments, maybe you can't digest well, maybe you're not a good sleeper, maybe you're like me and you've got some anxiety in your family history. And you carry those things with you for your life. And then you carry all the other things that are happening in our world and in our environment. And so balancing those things is really important. And if you're having a day where the balance is off, you don't have to fix it. You just have to let people know.
Yes. Yes. I think Rob knows when I used to, well, remember when I worked at the cancer clinic, when it was day after day for 10 years, like that was my main job, and helping, you know, people go through cancer treatment. It was very satisfying work, because people were really interested and they really wanted to take control of their health through their diet and lifestyle, through their treatment to heal and get better and to help with the symptom control. But, you know, because of the heaviness of the work, like the, you know, complexity of each individual patient. And, you know, I'd come home after seeing 10 patients in a day, for instance. And, you know, and if Rob works alone, you know, he works at home and he's self-employed and, you know, building furniture, and he didn't have anyone to talk to, maybe the kids, but, you know, it's like, and then I've been just like inundated with people all day long, with the, you know, the staff and other, you know, doctors and other healthcare professionals, and just working as a team to help these people. And, you know, and then Rob wanted like to talk, and he wanted, how was your day, honey? It's like, well, can we talk about something else? Let's talk about dinner. Like, you know, when's our vacation?
It's a skill that I think, what I hope in the future is that these types of skills are taught more in school, because I think as AI takes over more of the counting beans jobs, humans will have to shift more into the jobs that are uniquely human. And we'll have to educate our kids on the relationship and teamwork skills that right now, some of us kind of get innately and others really don't. And so what you're talking about, I remember being Rob, that I would be home with four children and my husband would come in the door and all I would want to do is have an adult conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think so many of us don't have the skills to really kindly say, you know, I need 5 minutes. we feel, especially women, I think women feel very guilty for asking for what we need. And hopefully this is getting better, but setting those clear boundaries and understanding why we've set them. For me, that was, I knew what I needed, but I never knew why. And as I get older, I feel I know more and more about the things that innately I wanted, but I didn't know why. And I think maybe that just comes with, I don't know if it comes with age or experience or what, but let's hope so, Rob.
I think it's wisdom for sure. Yeah.
Well, wisdom is a combination of age and experience. And, you know, I think we all get wiser, hopefully, We all get older,
but we don't all get wiser. And I hope that as I age, I do get wiser.
Well, we want to make our listeners wiser today. And this has been amazing. I would love to help our listeners have some good take-home practical messages and take-home actions. So what are some key elements to helping to improve your mood and with daily practice?
Okay, that's a great question. So we know from the longest study done on individual happiness that your relationships are the biggest contributors. And so I always encourage people to start there and think of somebody that you haven't talked to in a while and give them a call. See if you can set up a lunch date. Tuesday is the day of the week that I do social connection. I try to reach out to maybe a new connection on LinkedIn and say, hey, can we have a virtual coffee? I have a friend from 20 years ago, and I will just send her a quick text and say, text me your day in 5 emojis. And we now do this, and it's actually really fun.
Cool.
Because you have no idea what the emojis mean. And then we try to uncode them in a really funny way for one another. And that will be the end of it because we're both incredibly busy, but at least it keeps us connected. So I would say, first thing off, some tiny moment of social connection. It can be your barista. Say hello instead of just ordering your coffee.
I love that. And use their name. Use their name.
Totally.
Like, see their name tag. It totally brings a light to someone's face. I remember being in an airport. We were in an airport where I think it was in Mexico, and it was all Mexican people behind the counter at Subway, I think. And they were just it was so packed with everybody trying to get their sandwich before they had to board the plane. And so they were working like crazy, their heads are down. And then the person who was taking the order, she had a name tag, and I said her name. And then she looked up at me like, this was the first person in her day, and it was the afternoon, that actually said her name, and her face just lit right up. And the kids were beside me, and I said, did you see that? See, very small, little gestures, just saying someone's name in this. They're not robots. We're humans. Let's do a little connection for a microsecond to bring brightness to her day.
That's a beautiful story. And so in science, we would call that common humanity. And it's really saying, I see you. And just those tiny acknowledgements. One of the stories that I loved out of, I forget which Scandinavian country, was that they have a line at their grocery store for people who want to have a conversation. And I've certainly noticed as my mom ages that her people she talks to are her bank teller and the lady at the drugstore. And if you're hurrying and you don't have time for those interactions, you miss the potential to be really meaningful in somebody else's life. So that would be a second one. So social connection, yes. But I also say when you're feeling rushed, slow down. Yeah. And
I've got tears in my eyes tomorrow because this is so true. I see this with our elderly people and, out in the community and our parents and, everyone's on their phone and they're walking around in their own head. And I got my to-do list and whatever. And the human connection, we're missing that. We need to take time, especially when we're out in public with other people. Smile. You're not crazy if you actually look up and people feel they fear looking in people's eyes, or they don't want anyone to see them. And I think it's maybe a hangover from everyone wearing masks all the time and hiding their faces. And I just feel we are human. And I work in dementia care with long-term care. And when we could remove our mask and smile, oh my God, it made all the difference in their life. The nonverbal cues is how it's like your daughter. It's how they receive what's going on. And is even pets do this too, if you're urgent or if you're looking around and, if they're reading your energy and okay, something's going on, they get all freaked out. And it's physiologically changes people's body and their health and their cortisol levels and all this. So it's so, so important, the nonverbal communication and being friendly and just relaxed and open, because we don't all need to be walking around like we're tied up in a knot, you know?
Yeah, you're so right. And you're reminding me of the story you told earlier about my practicing my facial expressions. One of the things I worked really hard on is what I call my happy dopey face, that I look curious and I look happy. And I've gotten so good at it that when I go get my passport taken, they always tell me to stop smiling. And my eyes smile even when my mouth is not. And I've had times where they've taken 4 to 5 pictures because they say you're still smiling. And I'm like, look at my mouth. It's not smiling. It's just in my eyes now. So yeah, you're right. And we know that smiles are contagious. And the upward spiral of positive emotions that can happen from just smiling for a little bit longer at a stranger is really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Can I ask a question? It's kind of a good time for my question. I'm curious about your thoughts on how social media is affecting humanity, I guess, like compared to when we were kids and there wasn't really such a thing other than magazines, I suppose, but I think social media now is such a big presence in our life and there's pros and cons to it, but I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love this question. I embrace something that I call positive technology because I'm all for technology, but I'm all for regulated technology. And
yes,
the mistake that was made with social media is that we let the people driving technology drive it. And I often say it's as though somebody invented a car and there were no seatbelts and there were no roads and anybody that could afford one was allowed to drive.
Right.
And eventually we're going to have to get to a place where things like filters that change the way we look are not allowed unless you're a certain age. And actually the targeting of children is illegal. Right now, for example, TikTok in China is coded to ensure that children want to work for a space agency similar to NASA. So kids that are on TikTok in China want to be smarter. They want to achieve. North American TikTok is designed to influence kids to buy stuff and want to be influencers. So we're really getting it wrong with our technology. I don't think it is the technology itself. I think it is the off the railway that we have allowed it to not have any policy around it. And I'm sure in the next 10 years, especially with where AI is going, AI is a side hobby of mine. I chair Harvard's AI for Human Flourishing working group because I'm so interested in making sure that we are better because we use it, not worse. And so an example I often give is how Netflix pops up and says, are you still watching? Which can feel incredibly annoying.
Totally.
But we need to have those signals built through all of our technology to make sure, hey, have you connected? Have you gone outside? Have you had some water?
Totally.
Our technology needs to be offering those prompts as well. And so we know, the research says, teenage girls are incredibly negatively impacted by social media. So something has to be done. Our teenage girls are really hurting. Boys use it a little bit better because they actually make social friends in a bit better way than girls do. And again, I know with the gender arguments, people don't like to say one is different than the other, but right now that trend is strong that women and girls have much more harm than boys do from this type of media. My own kids, I've taught them a very simple rule that you use your technology, you don't let it use you. So you use it for creating, you don't use it for consuming. And if you find yourself on YouTube for 20 hours a day, then it's using you. You are not using it. But if you're putting your art on Instagram and selling it, then you're using it. So that's kind of the way our family looks at it. And there's nothing
smart
wrong with,
I love that,
spending 20 minutes looking at mindless videos. We all need to relax, but you've got to set a timer and say, and now I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And recognize it. And I think like you just said, that tip you used for your family is brilliant. I think that's, recognizing that there is a difference in how you're using it.
And it gave me goosebumps.
Sorry. Oh, well, thank you.
When you said you're on that board in Harvard for the AI, just Oh my God, that literally, it gave me goosebumps because I am so happy there's someone like you that is helping steer this ship, because AI is a game changer. We're never, like, it's going to change our world. I'm positive of that. And we can do, like, if we're responsible and if there's some, like you said, guidance and guardrails and, a path forward that is more responsible, I think it's going to be amazing. It's such an awesome tool. But I love that you're on the board to help with those big decisions. Thank you.
Well, we'll hope so. What I will say is that there's no shortage of really beautiful humans out there who are already looking at what might the problem be. What have we learned from the social dilemma of social media? And how do we not let that happen with AI? So mm-hmm. I think everybody needs to be a really informed user, because it's going to be coming. And so getting in front of it and considering, okay, this could be utopia or Armageddon. Let's plan rather than waiting to see what happens.
Yes, true.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. No, that's holy. This is amazing. So you've given us some really good take-home actions for our listeners, just to try to have a way to change their mindset for their day-to-day interactions and to help with. We want this to be in the new year. So like a way to set goals that are more focused on having a fulfilling life and connecting, like, with humans, other humans, and being more mindful around how your outward appearance when you're out shopping, or like when you're connecting with others. Like, I think it's really important to put that phone away and connect on a human level with other people. I know our phone is so many more things than just the news. It's, you know, our camera, it's our email, it's our flashlight, or it's everything. So I try to explain that to my older parents, that, you know, why is everybody on their phone all the time? Well, because it is such an important tool in our life in this day and age. But as you said, to have some timeline, like a timer with how much time you spend on, you know, consuming information, because otherwise you just sit there, you know, your whole day is wasted by just mindless kind of scrolling, and that is not going to help anyone and is not going to help yourself. So yeah, that's wow. Do you have any other ideas for some daily practice?
Well, what I can do is tell you what I do. And my most important practice is my morning practice. I'm a morning person, but my day feels off kilter if I don't start with the meditation. And it's actually really funny just listening and hearing myself say that, because I would not consider myself a meditator. I'm not the kind of person who you would think, okay, she wants to sit in a yoga pose and meditate. I think of myself as more a fidgety skeptic. But what I know is, having practiced these skills that are about breathing, are about awareness, are about regulation of your nervous system, it makes the biggest difference on me. And I meditate every single morning before I even get out of bed. It's the first thing I do. So that's my number one go-to practice, is meditation.
I do that too. Rob thinks I'm crazy, but I do that too, because he's like, you've just been asleep. Why do you need to meditate? Because it sets the tone for the day. And I do it probably, I meditate probably 3 or 4 times through the day. Like, I don't do like long sessions, but I'll do, you know, about 15 minutes in the morning. And then, you know, for break, I'll do that. I used to have a nap. Now I can just do like a meditation, and I'm usually like, it's like control alt delete for my brain. And it's like, I feel so much more refreshed. And I totally get what you're saying, because, you know, my 20-year-old self would never have imagined that I would meditate. But yeah, I love it. I mean, I think that's something that I hope more people will start to do.
I think so. And I think a simple breath practice is the entry. So there's something called the physiological sigh, and I'm not going to go through it now, but I recommend listening to Andrew Huberman. You can find him on YouTube or podcasts. And the physiological sigh calms your nervous system in 2 to 3 rounds of breath. And so it is the go-to that I give to anyone who says, I am not a meditator, never going to be, don't want to try. It's the other wonderful thing that can help just to make your body better and more prepared for your day.
That's the one I will try then, because I'm that guy. Yeah, I haven't found anything that works, but I want to do it. I've heard so many positive things, and everyone's like, oh, you got to meditate. But I'm like, I can't. I don't know how. But yeah, I'll give it a shot.
I want to hear how it goes.
Yeah, so for sure. Sandra, why don't ask our last question?
Yes.
Do you want to fire away there?
You ask.
Okay. So we're gonna turn it. We haven't talked about food yet, and this is it's a health and lifestyle podcast, but we often talk about food, and we like to know from each of our guests what they would bring to a potluck dinner.
It's a great question.
How we steal recipes, really.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to pretend it's a potluck brunch, because my go-to is something called a kolache.
No.
And I don't know if you have either of you heard of a kolache?
No, but no. It sounds good.
So my husband was living in Houston, Texas when we met, and I had never heard of a kolache. And we had them one of the first times that I visited him, and they're basically a slightly sweet dough that is formed into a ball and filled with bacon, eggs, and cheese. And so they are something that I figured out how to bake because he missed them and I liked them. And my family loves them. They're something Christmas morning is kolaches. And if we have a big sporting event, I take kolaches. And so now I don't eat gluten and I don't eat meat. And so I figured out all different ways to make them and fill them and stuff them. But they are my go-to when I'm asked to bring something.
Oh, Tamara, that how do you awesome. Spell it?
Kolache, it's K-O-L-A-C-H-E.
Oh, thank you.
It's like a
totally
German word, maybe?
You know what? I think it's Czechoslovakian. And I actually think the ones they make in Houston are nothing like what a European kolache is, a sweet pastry. And so I think this is the Americans throwing their we put meat and cheese on everything.
Yeah,
totally. And totally ruining a beautiful pastry, but it does taste good.
That's amazing. Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. And we really appreciate you taking your time out of your hugely busy life with 4 kids and all the work you're doing. Thank you so much, Tamara. We really appreciate it. And where can people find you? And we, in the show notes, we're going to add your social media handles. And
absolutely. So I hang out on LinkedIn most frequently. I do have an Instagram, but because of the reasons we talked about earlier, I don't spend a lot of time there. and so I usually tell people to connect with me either on LinkedIn or Instagram. I avoid Twitter or X because not so sure I trust Elon and his algorithms. So those are the best places to find me. And if you want to learn more about the way I do what I do, picking up that book, The Happiness Reset, is also a great thing. And I do have a Facebook group called The Happiness Reset, where I will often do a 21-day reset for free. So if people join that group, then every once in a while, they might get invited to do a reset.
Fun.
Oh, I love it.
We'll definitely link those.
Okay. Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Wow. Well, we'll let
LinkedIn.
You go. Thanks.
Okay. Well, I'll see you there because I'm on LinkedIn a lot too. So
excellent. I'll meet you there.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Tamara. It was really a pleasure to catch up. And like Sandra said, thank you for sharing your wisdom. It's incredible the stuff that you're doing. And hopefully our listeners can get some value from it.
Awesome. Well, let me know when you're publishing and I'll make sure I share it out on all my channels and tag the people that I've talked about so that we can give it some extra reach.
That sounds great.
Perfect. I know you gotta go. So let's
My son is like, I'm done early. And I'm like, yeah, get a coffee, kid. I'll be there in 10.
No problem. Okay. And we'll connect some other time to
get absolutely.
Together. Yes.
Woo-hoo. Just email Thank me. You. It was really fun. You guys were great. And I do want to have you come on down for dinner.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be super fun.
We'll take you up on it. That's awesome.
Okay, good.
You have a great Christmas.
Thanks,
okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you reached out to her, and I'm so happy that she was able to share her wisdom with us and our listeners of the years of practice in her field.
Totally. Sometimes things just work out, right? Like it's meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of those amazing take-home messages about just have more social connection, that human touch. And, you know, even though you may be born with certain predispositions for mindset and outlook, it's changeable. You can change this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can learn better ways. So consider how your energy can impact those around you.
That's huge. And it's noticeable right away. That's one thing you can go out
right now
and walk up to the first person you see and get a positive reaction from them by how you behave towards them.
It's a simple smile.
It's instant.
It just starts with a simple smile or saying someone's name, saying thank you, mm-hmm. and actually looking up from your phone.
Yeah.
I think it's so important in this day and age.
Totally.
To make those human connections, look people in the eye and say hi.
And it's not just doing them a favor. It comes back on you too. It makes you feel good. It's a really interesting how that all works.
You get what you give.
Well, you do. You definitely get what you give. Yeah.
Yeah, that was just wonderful.
That's not just a bumper sticker.
No. And, you know, just hearing about her own struggles in her young family's life and how this actually informed who she is today and the work she does. And she's impacting millions of people around the world with all of the different things she's doing and involved with. I just think it's, wow, what an honor that she took her time out to talk to us today.
Yeah, totally.
I'm so excited.
Unreal. Yeah, so we'll definitely link her book. That's something that'll be on our bookshelf if it isn't already. We have a few books here, so it might be there, but yeah, definitely worth a read. Just like Sandra said, how simple some of those tips and common sense, but it's stuff that we don't think about. You know, we're just so busy with our lives. We don't think to stop and take a breath and or smile at the person at the store or whatever, you know. So it sounds like her book is definitely worth a read and will definitely have a positive impact.
Yeah. And take care of yourself too. I mean, mm-hmm. that's part of it, is just thinking about, you know, your relationships and thinking about taking a break and taking a mindset moment for yourself to check out. And just like, you know, if you're super busy all day, do a simple meditation or take some simple breathing, do something to help your own boundaries and your own feeling so that you can, you know, the mind body connection is so important, and it really impacts our insides too. I mean, a lot of people have heartburn and indigestion and issues with health because of, we're so busy and we need to just step back and take some time for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think talking with her really helped just put that in a different frame of reference.
Yeah. Yeah. Our mental health is definitely connected to our physical, and it's so important to remember that. So yeah, we'll link the book. It's called The Happiness Reset. It's Tamara Lechner. And that will be listed in our show notes. You can link to that there. You can visit her on, I guess, her Instagram page and LinkedIn, if you're a LinkedIn person. And you can also check out some stuff on our website too. We've got new things up there all the time. It's mywifethedietitian.com. If you have questions, ideas for season 3, now that we're in season 3, feel free to reach out through our email. It's mywifetherd@gmail.com. You can also check out our Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook pages. We're on there doing stuff. You can leave comments there. That's always fun to flip open the computer and see that someone's taking the time to say hey and love what you're doing. And
yeah, I love
you
that.
You guys are amazing. Like we like those comments too.
Love it.
Yeah. So don't be shy. We got a great year coming up. We got a lot of new things in the works that we'll be sharing with you soon. We're excited. And we hope you are too. So thanks for joining us today, and go out and buy Tamara's book. And we're all going to be happy people this year.
Sounds good, Rob.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.
Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode. Thank you.